Welcome to the EDUCAUSE podcast.
This is Bill Hogue with EDUCAUSE. I'm here today with Steve Landry, the Chief Information Officer of Seton Hall University. Greetings, Steve. It's nice to
Hello.
Have you here.
Glad to be here.
I'm told that you attended the Gartner Symposium. Can you talk a little bit about what some of the main takeaways were and what your overall experience was like?
I really enjoy going to Gartner Symposium because they give a lot of good insight into the larger trends going on in technology that affect everybody, not just higher education. But I think the main takeaway I get out of going to Gartner is seeing how similar the concerns of CIOs at other institutions are to CIOs in higher education. Lots of sessions at Gartner Symposium on IT governance. I learned a new acronym, GRC, for Governance, Risk, and Compliance. There were lots of sessions there about GRC issues, and obviously that's a concern in higher education as well. What I saw in Gartner was that they are looking at a convergence of IT governance with business governance, that they're saying in a few years IT governance isn't going to be broken out as a separate governance issue, but it's rather going to be more closely incorporated with the business governance. And I think that's going to happen in higher education as well. The how to leverage technology to improve business processes, lots of really interesting discussion there. Lots of companies are trying to become more efficient, and they're seeing the same obstacles that we're seeing in higher education. The big takeaway from business process redesign was that the challenges are not so much technical as they are political, and I see the same thing happening in higher education. There are lots of discussions at Gartner Symposium about the consumerization of IT and the move to bring your own device. Companies are really wrestling with how to implement BYOD for their employees. That's actually one area that I thought higher education was ahead of corporate America, that we have often supported a heterogeneous computing environment on our campus. On the other hand, the consumerization, there's some not-so-good news for higher education because we're definitely behind in the adoption of cloud computing and alternate IT sourcing, so that many companies are embracing cloud computing and software as a service to become more agile in responding to their business needs. A really good mantra that I learned there in talking about sourcing is that Gartner is recommending that you use before buy and buy before build. What they mean by that is before going out and purchasing a software package, see if there's actually a software as a service that you could use, because that'll allow you to stand up the service much more quickly and efficiently. And then, of course, buy before build is obvious. Rather than build your own systems, look to see if there's an off-the-shelf product that meets your needs. There's lots of discussion at Gartner Symposium about how to not only survive but flourish in the face of disruptive technology. And that goes for both CIOs and the services that they're delivering to their business, and also for the businesses themselves and the services they're delivering to their customers. One of the questions that I heard over and over again at Gartner Symposium is, as a CIO, how do you compete with free? How do you deliver value to your community when they can often go out and get a free service that does everything that you're providing? And similarly, businesses are seeing their business models being changed significantly by new ways of delivering services through technology. And how do you compete with free is something that struck a chord with me in the era as we're looking at the developments of MOOCs, or massively open online courses. There was a lot of talk about MOOCs at Gartner Symposium, and people said, well, MOOCs don't really have a business model to flourish. But on the other hand, a lot of other people were making the point that you don't have to have a business model to cream somebody else's business model. The example that they used was file sharing. File sharing was free. They didn't have a business model to make money, but they devalued the intellectual property of the music industry. And MOOCs were an interesting topic of discussion at Gartner Symposium because of the investment that they're making in the algorithms to automate a lot of the processes that go on in higher education.
If we think about a number of the points that you raised and try to apply them to someone who is a new CIO in the education sector, the higher education sector, how would you suggest that a new CIO might spend time at a large technology conference? How can a new CIO wring the most value out of that experience?
Well, for me, I really found value in attending those sessions which talked about the long-term trends of technology, because they're going to impact not only all of the CIOs attending Gartner Symposium, but they're going to have an impact on higher education as well. And again, the kind of mega trends that Gartner Symposium are talking about are very relevant to higher education. The mega trends that they're talking about are mobility, the consumerization of IT and bring your own device, cloud computing and alternate sourcing of IT services, analytics and BI. There was a lot of talk about analytics and business intelligence at Gartner Symposium, and that's very relevant to higher education.
You've stepped us through a wide variety of major issues. If you had a couple of emerging technology trends that you have observed in the corporate world, either through this experience or through other professional experiences, what would be your top two or three that you think are primed for introduction to or broader adoption by higher education?
Oh, I think analytics is clearly a topic that's of deep interest to higher education as well as corporate America. And there were many, many sessions on analytics at Gartner Symposium. At Gartner Symposium, for example, I learned that Walmart records 1 million transactions an hour, and they have massive databases tracking consumer preferences all across the country, and they use that information to deliver the things that people want in each region very efficiently, effectively. They make sure that they stock what people want. And I think, how could that apply to higher education or education in general? I think of a school system that may have hundreds of thousands of students, and if they had small online assessments conducted hourly in the classroom, you would have that millions of data points that then you could mine to determine, where are students having problems? Where do the tutors need to go? Where do I need to deliver this particular tutorial on this particular topic so that this student can be more successful? There's tremendous potential in analytics to help us improve our success rate of student graduation. Another one that I thought was really, really interesting is the cloud computing and alternate sourcing. As I said, higher education ranked at near the bottom of sectors in terms of their ability to, or their willingness so far, to alternately source IT services. And what I learned at Gartner was that there's this ecosystem of services that are available to us in higher education that could really make us become a lot more agile and effective in delivering IT services. The ability to stand up a service quickly and effectively is going to not only reduce IT costs, but really make us much more agile in meeting the needs of our campuses. And we really have to explore that a lot more.
You talked very compellingly about adoption, if you will, of the business model of extensively using analytics, perhaps as exemplified by Walmart, to student learning or to other aspects of higher education. And yet, in my experience at least, there tends to be a bit of resistance to that kind of granular examination of people's behaviors. It comes back again to your earlier point about technology, that a number of our issues are not specifically related to technology, but rather to cultural or political issues. What do you think will be a tipping point, if you will, that will help higher education to embrace some of these business practices?
Well, I think one of those tipping points is going to be the emergence of the MOOCs. And whether or not they succeed in making money, which is that doesn't seem to be their intention, they're going to develop a whole range of tools and techniques that are going to be very applicable to us on our campuses, whether our vision is to be massively online or not. One of the interesting sessions I went to asked a question of all of the CIOs in the audience. And the question was, are you an analog leader or are you a digital leader? Analog leaders use technology to improve existing processes. Digital leaders use technology to develop new processes, new products, new ways of doing business. And I think the MOOCs are an example of digital leadership. They're using the full potential of technology to automate a lot of the processes that right now are very labor-intensive, and that's going to have a profound effect on higher education.
At Seton Hall University, you and your colleagues have been pathbreakers in ubiquitous computing. You have a history of over 15 years now of being known as that kind of an institution. When do you think for institutions like your own and others there will be a tipping point where we move to that BYOD, bring your own device environment, because the current model is no longer sustainable?
When we started our mobile computing program, it was founded on two principles, one of which was that access to technology is a prerequisite for academic success, and second, that standardization allows us, the university, to provide excellent technology to our students at the lowest overall cost. Now, not necessarily the lowest cost to the university, but the lowest overall cost, because bring your own device is, if you will, shifting that cost to the students. The mobile computing program at Seton Hall University, at least, has become sticky, if you will, in ways that I didn't initially think were going to happen. We survey our students regularly, and they tell us that they really want us to provide the high level of service and support that we're currently able to provide through standardization. So students want a repair shop on campus. They want loaner laptops if their laptop is broken or not available. And so we're not easily able to extract ourselves from providing a standard technology because of that expectation of that high level of support that our students and faculty have. Secondly, one of the ways that program has become sticky is that it's been a paradox of the program that standardizing on student devices has actually increased faculty choice. They no longer have to worry about, well, if I create this assignment or if I want students to do this particular assignment online, will they all have the necessary access to technology to be able to complete it? And so now faculty at Seton Hall University don't want us to extract from that, because they're very comfortable with knowing exactly what technology their students have and what the capability is. Nevertheless, one of the takeaways from Gartner Symposium is that nobody can plan for a homogeneous environment for much longer. The pressures of consumerization are going to really drive us to find ways to deliver those services in ways that are device agnostic. And certainly going to cloud-based services, focusing on the services that the campus is providing rather than on the device that's consuming them, is something that we all have to do.
You've really been talking about and around for our entire conversation disruptive technology.
Yes.
And I'd be curious about your reflections on how you prepare staff and how you prepare your community for that continual disruption, and any reflections that you may have on some of the biggest changes that have occurred over the last 3 to 5 years.
Yeah. The biggest change that's occurring in higher education is the evolution of the technology from client-server to web-based services. and the consumerization of IT and the moving to alternate sourcing. So some of the changes that we've been going through in the past few years is that we've moved our student email, as many campuses have done, to a hosted solution. We've moved our learning management system to a hosted solution, and we're increasingly looking at ways to do that, not to reduce cost, because in effect, you know, going to the cloud doesn't necessarily reduce the cost, but it makes those services more reliable, more accessible. We just had a hurricane hit our area, and fortunately the campus was fine, never lost power, never lost internet connection. We have to plan more for incidents that are going to disrupt our campus, but because our students and our clients are spread out, we have to make sure that those services are available 24/7, 365, and moving to the cloud helps us do that. So I think that's been a big trend, and more of our services are migrating to cloud-based services. We're also moving from the old client-server architectures to now, you know, RESTful web services, and a couple of ways I've seen that happen is we've gone through in the last 5 years, 6 years now, three waves of back-end technologies for our administrative systems. In 2007, we went from IA Plus to Banner, and so went from COBOL to Oracle. Now we're moving from Oracle to Java-based technologies because that's where the industry is heading. So constant training and professional development has been the key to helping us through those successive transitions. And all of the vendors are really looking to do that. Blackboard is looking to become a much more adaptable environment. They're looking to architect their solutions the same way Ellucian is. Instead of one big, massive student information system, here it is. They are looking to modularize their systems so that you can pick and choose which services you want to have with Blackboard and which ones you want to interoperate with other vendors. So that's really the idea that I learned at Gartner Symposium about this evolving education ecosystem, that the vendors are really looking now a lot more towards interoperability through web services so that we as higher education consumers will be able to have a lot of the back-end work of providing some of these IT services done by our partner vendors. And I think that's going to be a big change for higher education. I think a lot of people in higher ed are still kind of in the build or buy model rather than in the use model.
Stephen Landry, Chief Information Officer, Seton Hall University, thank you for a delightful conversation.
Thank you.